As we know, there's different translations of the Bible. So today's the one that we heard from our gospel from John 15 is good. I'm not saying it's bad, but I do prefer a different translation of this gospel, especially when it comes to the word remain. A lot of different translations have the word abide. And I think that's a much better translation of what Jesus is saying. Why is that? Let me give you an example here. You know, when you're on a plane and the plane lands, what do they say? Please remain seated, right? It's like, here's a direction, remain. Don't move. You're in trouble if you do. Now let's use a different example. I don't know, whenever I hear the word abide, I think of an invitation. An invitation to what? To dwell in the Lord. It's actually Pope Benedict on his discourse on this passage, this famous passage from John chapter 15, that says, abiding is dwelling in the Lord, an invitation to dwell in him and he in us. Just love this, that the Lord wants to abide in us and us in him. Now, when is this passage happening, by the way? This passage, once again, John 15, is during the Last Supper discourse. It's almost like this final discourse of the Lord before when? Before he enters into the Paschal mystery of his passion, his death, and his resurrection. And so it's with the apostles in the upper room. We can imagine how powerful it is. Right before this, of course, he's also said, right, take this, all of you, and eat of it. Take this, all of you, and drink of it. That he is going to be what we see now, that he is the vine. Just put this even to farther context, and we could do a whole deep dive into this. This also is happening right before Passover. And so the apostles now are celebrating this Passover meal with him, in a sense. And they themselves would have seen in the temple, as you walk in the temple, by the way, do you know what's above the gate of the temple here, where you go to offer your sacrifice, is a huge grapevine. And so when Jesus says this, all of a sudden they're making these connections of him saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. But then we get to this passage once again where it says, abide in me, and I in you. If we could just pause right there and think about that. That God wants to abide in you. How amazing is that? Truly, that God wants to dwell inside of us. And when this happens, what happens? That we will bear much fruit. And why is this? Because it's not just us doing work, but God doing work through us, with us, and in us. And how does he do this? Of course, we know it's through the Eucharist. We know that he gives himself, that we are able to receive the body and blood of Christ to abide in him. And we, and him and us. How amazing this is. And when this happens, what are we going to receive? We're going to receive great joy. We actually don't read all of chapter 15 today. We never read a whole chapter. But I do think we cut off the gospel a little early as well. Sounds like I'm complaining about the readings today. I'm not, right? But it sounds like, I just think it's important to finish off this passage of Jesus as the true vine. And so we end on verse 8, but I want to read 9 through 11 as well. So verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. If you're not smiling at that point, by the way, it means we're not listening, right? Think about this. This is what Jesus says. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And we see how true this is. And we see how true it's going to be for the disciples, that they're going to see how much he truly loves them and how much he loves us. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. A couple things there. Jesus says the word abide 10 times here, right? It's his invitation, not just to remain, but to abide, to dwell in him, and him in us. And when we do this, he says what? That my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. We all want to be filled with this joy. We all want to be filled with happiness. This is what we long for. But my brothers and sisters, this joy is only going to happen when we do what? When we abide in the Lord, and he truly abides in us, because he is the fulfillment of all of our desires. We can look for happiness in all other places, but we know no matter what, that happiness is going to fade. It's a very silly example. Yesterday morning, I woke up. I said my introductory prayer to thank the Lord. Then I hopped on ESPN. I said, did the Timberwolves win or not? And sure enough, they did. They're up 3-0 for the first time ever in the history of the Timberwolves in a series. And I was really happy until I probably looked at the next news article. And that joy went away. But then I went and prayed. I spent time with the Lord in adoration. When I left there, that joy was still burning inside of me. I was able to celebrate Mass yesterday morning. What a beautiful gift it is as a priest, right? We celebrate Mass every single day. And also the Lord becomes part of me, receiving him in the Eucharist. And that joy burns forever. It remains forever as he truly wants to abide in us. It's only through, with, and in God that we are going to have true joy. Why? Because he is the one who created us. We are made in his image and likeness. And so he is the key to our happiness. So the question has to be, how do we truly abide? Well, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2074, says this. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So the fruit referred to in this saying is the holiness of a life made fruitful by union with Christ. Let's repeat that line. The fruit referred to in this saying is the holiness of a life made fruitful by union with Christ. So it's that union, that abiding in him. So how does this happen? Well, it's three ways. When we believe, the Catechism says, when we believe in Jesus Christ, partake of his mysteries, and keep his commandments, the Savior himself comes to love in us, his Father and his brethren, our Father and our brethren. His person becomes, through the Spirit, the living and interior rule of our activity. So the three ways that we can allow the Lord to abide in us and us in him is what again? So number one, having that faith that we truly believe that he is Jesus Christ, that he is our Lord and our Savior, that he is God and we are not. And that's why we're here this morning, because we believe that he truly is God and that he has a plan for us. And this plan, it's what? To unite us with himself into this communion of love. So we have that faith, but that's not all. It also says to participate of his mysteries. What does this mean? Participate in the sacraments. Participate in the sacraments that he may truly dwell in us. How is this happening? Of course, we know through baptism, to be claimed as his children. But we also know the source and summit of our life is what? It is the Eucharist. And that's why every single Sunday or Saturday night, we come to Mass. Because when we come to Mass, what do we hear? The body of Christ, the blood of Christ. And we say amen. And what does amen mean? It means I believe this truly is the body and blood of Christ. And that he is going to truly come inside of me. That he longs to humble himself so that he may share in his humanity. And that he may dwell in us. This is what he longs to do. To dwell in us. So that we can dwell, that we may abide in him. And so we come and participate in the sacraments. And then the third part, to live this holiness of life, is what? To follow the commandments, the catechism says. These commandments so often be looked at as like, oh, they oppress me. They hold me back from what I truly want to do. But we know when we turn away from the commandments, we don't have joy. We don't have happiness. I don't know about you, but every single time that I've sinned, I'm not happier. I'm not. Because I've turned away from the Lord. I don't have that joy. And so these commandments are actually what the Lord revealing a key to happiness for our life. These commandments are helping us to what? To follow his will. So often I hear, Father, what is God's will for me? If I only knew his will. My brothers and sisters, the Ten Commandments are his will for us. This should be the roadmap of our life, to follow these commandments. We could put them down to two main ones, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And to love your neighbor as yourself. And we know when we do this, we're going to have that joy. We're going to have that happiness. We're going to have all that we desire. And we are going to remain as a branch on the vine. And we allow the Lord to what, as the gospel says as well. That sometimes the Lord is going to have to prune us so that what? So that we may bear even more fruit. He doesn't prune us to hurt us. He prunes us because he loves us, because he cares for us, because he is more than just an expert gardener. He is God who wants to see us flourish. And that flourishment is what? Us abiding in him and him in us. Not just here on earth, but eternally as well. So my brothers and sisters, today we make this commitment, this continual commitment to live in this holiness of life, to accept this invitation from the Lord to abide in him and he in us.